How we doing, guys? And welcome to Best Soccer Coaching's first Coaching Corner podcast. Today's going to be a wee bit different. We've not actually got a football coach on. We've got a fitness coach. This is our long time friend. Sometimes he's not been that much of a friend. He keeps on annoying me all the time, but we'll get on with that. And personal fitness coach, it's Jordan McCabe. He is owner of McFit Coaching. Definitely check him out with this video, and we're going to be talking a wee bit about fitness. How fitness can relate to football and Jordan's background. So, how you doing, Jordan? All good today?
I'm good. Busy Fridays. Good day. How are you?
I'm not bad. Better being busy than no busy, innit?
Especially during all this.
Oh, I know. It's tough coping with this, innit?
Happy to be busy.
Aye, true. Right, we'll get fired straight into it. So, obviously, you said it's McFit coaching you do fitness training. What is it you specialise within? If someone was to go onto your page, what would they find out? What would they see and what do you offer?
So, in terms of what I specialise in, you said that I'm a personal trainer, but we generally cover a bit of everything, but we all have our what we call little niches that we either prefer to work with or we have more knowledge in, for instance. Mm-hmm. Currently my biggest intake is around kind of weight loss, dieting, mixed with sports performance and people who generally either want to return back to how they used to feel, whether they played sports or in high school, however many moons ago it may have been, that's when they felt whether they're at their kind of peak performance or they felt the most, they felt the best.
They felt the
peak at that time, and they can come to you, ask you, this is how I feel at this point, now in here, however I want to feel like I did back then. So I tend to work with a lot of people like that. However, just like I did with myself last lockdown, I tend to work with group training and group work, putting whether it's teams or it's boot camps or fitness classes, through a series of different workouts and sessions, depending on what they are trying to work towards.
Good, so it's like a mixed bag altogether. Like you were saying, obviously, you worked with myself in Gifting Up Women, and I know certainly the girls loved that at the time, and it was a great session to put on. How long have you been doing the fitness stuff now?
Well, I mean, in terms of being in the fitness industry, about probably 6 years in the fitness industry, from when I first got qualified as a general fitness instructor / spin instructor. However, a training age, probably since I was about 16, purely because my background at that point, jumping into senior level rugby, very scrawny kid.
I can back him up for that, guys, by the way.
Going up against quite heavy guys, so that's probably the point that I'd say that I had definitely shock to the system, but started lifting weights and resistance training and applying it to the sport. However, I always took a background to the sport, training and fitness. I just liked playing the sport. I never really took into account how important the fitness and actual training side was and how applicable it was to the actual sport itself.
Yeah, some people tend to forget that, don't they? How much the fitness goes with playing these sports. I know star athlete that you were, obviously not as good as myself, that's self-explanatory. But it's good to see the transition that you've made. It's good to see the transition you have made, but obviously known each other for what, at least 10 years now. Going from school and that, and seeing how you've transitioned from playing into now helping people and helping people with their fitness. It's a good transition to see, and obviously you're doing well. For McFit, what is the plans for the future? What is it like, your goals? Obviously we've got mini goals, wee stepping stones, but what's the big goal?
Well, obviously the current situation that we're going through, the pandemic and multiple lockdowns after lockdowns, just now it's for me and my business and my training, it's just survive and thrive, keep going, keep moving forward as much as possible, maintain standards, even though we don't, maybe don't have the facilities that we had before, due to not being allowed indoors. So for how long that the lockdown lasts and outdoor training, whether it's wind, rain or snow recently, keep moving forward and doing sessions on that, until we're allowed back into facilities. Once we're allowed back into gym facilities, then I will hopefully be moving into a more suitable facility for myself, and my clients that has more applicable equipment and technology, which is one of the reasons I will be looking to move there to work more in technology-based stuff that will help athletes, sports players, and general population, because they usually won't have access to this type of equipment in commercial gyms. So we can take them into that gym and hopefully do that and get more advanced with my own training, but also be able to open up other people's eyes in terms of how deep it can actually go and the importance of like this little stuff. But also make sure everything isn't always has to be like professional level, and everything, whereas like kind of amateur, basic, beginner, like that big massive gap kind of closes in, and the gap with the kind of technology and apparatus that we're going to be able to use at the gym. So that's my current business path. In terms of my training, it is, again, just maintain what I managed to build up until obviously lockdown. We've been lucky enough to get a lot of equipment and maintain a kind of home gym and continue training through some little sessions. However, my next step up is to take a big hip and hip, so up the cardio. So over the next couple of months is my big fear, but
it's certainly a fear. I've been doing hit sessions recently, it's not the best.
So all I've done last lockdown was hit and less weights, now all I've done this lockdown is more weights, less hit, so I'm balanced.
But from what you're talking about, the career goals, it shows that you're able to adjust straight away, that you're able to adjust to the fact of the lockdown. As you're saying, nobody really knows what's going on just now. So these adjustments that you're making, it's showing that you are still thriving. And the fact you've got the plans for the future, it always gives you that wee go at the end. It's something that, obviously, we are doing something similar, but it's good to see the fitness side of it as well. And I've seen some of the progress that you're doing with your fitness, and you're getting on great. Something that I'll need to take up as well, because I'm not the fittest I could be there now, but I'll definitely be looking into that and getting a wee bit of help. But so looking into, obviously this is mostly about football, our YouTube channel, our business. So see, when we're talking about fitness, how important would you say that fitness planning is for, say, even for like an amateur footballer, and then obviously you go to the higher levels where you're dealing with professional stuff like that? How important would you say that is?
Well, like I was saying there, like the gap between like professional level and like amateur beginner level. Up there, you will almost will never see them go through like the fitness tests and stuff. You, like, in the newspapers and like on Facebook and Google and stuff, you'll see like pictures of them going through like, a medical test and a fitness test when they join a new team and things like that. But obviously, you wouldn't see that at a beginner and kind of amateur level.
Aye.
You see just like generic, like you run in the pitch sort of.
I've seen that plenty of times.
But at like the kind of top level, so with all the machines and stuff, it's a massive importance at the beginning as well. Especially if you're looking to pursue it as a a full-time career,
mm-hmm.
is to keep on top of your fitness, whether that's through the training with the teams or training on your own. Because hard work will always trump talent.
Yeah.
Talent only gets you so far, and the hard work's what's going to actually get you to there and beyond. Because you could have all the skill in the world, but have the fitness of absolutely a hippo.
Aye.
No offense to hippos, but have the fitness of a hippo. And it's a massive importance that doesn't really get highlighted at a younger age. Because at the end of the day, like, you're there to kind of obviously just play football and enjoy training sessions, and then when you go and you hear it's like a fitness session, you're like, oh crap, and then everybody just wants to
everybody's pulling the sickie.
15 minutes of the session, last 15 minutes of the coaching session, where they get to play whether it's 7-a-sides or 5-a-sides, and they get to run about and play, actually play football.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a big interest in the kind of fitness side of stuff. But the other side of it is obviously looking at resistance training stuff. A big debate lately has been, are children too young to do resistance training?
Mm-hmm.
And like it's flat out no, they're never too young. It can only benefit them. So it doesn't hinder anything. So that doesn't mean like if you've got like a 6-year-old kid, go whack them with a barbell and go like, there you go, squat. it means that, for instance, when you are, especially when you're going through things like puberty,
mm.
you are more prone to react to things like resistance training that a lot better.
Mm.
Because your body and testosterone levels are not going to the cellular level stuff.
Yeah.
But you're more prone to adapt better if you catch it at the right age.
Aye, because that's the thing, obviously everybody grows at a different rate and different ages and stuff like that. Like, look at yourself, you're over 6 feet and I'm still about 5'10", so there's a great example of that and the different training that we've done growing up.
My big thing was that like, I was always tall,
mm-hmm.
going through like primary school and high school, and then it was probably about second or third year that people started to kind of catch up in height.
Yeah.
And I was always one of the kind of fast kids during high school, like where I was sprinting. I had always done football first, and then second year I went into rugby. Just because one of our mates asked me to come along and play because I was a fast kid. That was just how I was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually everyone kind of caught up in terms of speed, size. I was still scrawny kid, but everybody kind of caught up in terms of size and speed. So it was, not to say that my hard work didn't get me anywhere, but that was at the point where I was like, oh shit, I need you. Yeah, a step up.
Aye, just gave you that wee reality check. You're like, oh, I need to take this to the next level, because people are obviously hitting their different spots. Like, I've heard this story about actually Kieran Tierney, when he was in the Celtic Academy, he was going to get let go because he had an early growth spurt and then was stagnant for a bit and then had another spurt when he was about 18, 19. So it goes to show you, like, if Celtic were to let a talent like that go, then look at how much money would have lost and trophies, etc. And it's the same for any sport, if you're going to like fitness or if you're like into rugby, it's all about trying to find that peak age and that peak training. And it's good to see someone's actually like, right, we can train them at this age, but it's how they've trained properly. Because you find a lot of people are like, let's just not train them, it might damage them. But if you do it properly, as you're saying, it can actually be a great benefit.
Yeah, that was like, for instance, when we were doing football growing up, it was just a case of like running in the pitch, and everything was all kind of cardiovascular based, like just running in the pitch, sprinting up and down, which is, yeah, is great. But when it comes to, for instance, injury time,
mm-hmm.
especially at a young age, whether you pull a hamstring, which is also very common, whether you damage your ankle, damage your knee, and you're, 14, 15, 16, yeah, I've done a lot of kind of resistance training, whether that's with coaches, whether that's on your own, whether that's whatever. You're kind of back to square one.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you do that prior, and God forbid you do get injury, if you do it prior to having an injury, you might, for instance, not have as bad an injury or as prolonged time of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've looked after yourself prior, rather than dealing with just the effects and then trying to work on yourself.
Aye. It's like you're basically right. It's like preparing yourself for the worst type of thing. You're getting your body like set for it. Like as you were saying, like obviously we used to do run around the park and that when we were younger. Something that I was talking to a coach the other day about, they're like, when you're doing like these sprints up and down, they're like, whenever in a football match and a rugby match do you need to sprint or like a straight line all the time? You're never going to be going in a straight line. And it's something that I've started to see more adapting as like SAQs. So these are like different adaption drills that's working on speed and agility, and it's different movements. And it's good to see that type of thing that you're talking about, like getting yourself prepared for it, because you find that a lot of these days that a lot more players are starting to get injured because they've not been brought up with that type of training. And it's good to see, obviously, people are starting to understand that, and you've got the expertise to show that as well. So as we're talking about, like, we've just kind of covered that a wee bit there, but as we're talking about the fitness for football, would you think like the importance of this is?
As I said at the start, is absolutely massive. The key things I would say to work on, like you just touched on there, the agility, massive. It's not just the agility in its own. Your body will adjust your, like, for instance, knees and ankles, your ligaments and that, yeah, like they will get stronger as you do it more often. You'll get faster, your reaction will get faster. However, speaking again from one experience, a lot more pitches are becoming 4G.
Yeah.
And asphalt pitches, which is therefore harder ground. There's rarely ever grass pitches being played on there.
But that's something you see, sorry to interrupt there, but that's something you see even for the top level. Like, remember you had like Jozo Šimunović for Celtic, for example, he couldn't play on 4G pitches because he would get injured straight away. So that shows you that even the top level's getting affected by this as well.
And it's like, yeah, it's great that they're trying to make everything like kind of keep moving forward in terms of whether it's technology or like the game just being able to go on due to weather. Because obviously, being in Scotland, it's not always able to go on.
Aye.
But everybody kind of sucked up and just done it anyway.
Aye.
But the knock-on effects to, for instance, injuries is they can exacerbate the injuries so much. So the importance in terms of football, resistance training, and fitness. When people hear fitness and football, they think, yeah, we run. But you need to think about your, obviously your joints and your ligaments in terms of strengthening, whether you are then looking at doing more plyometric-based stuff, so box jumps, squat jumps, lunge jumps, if you can do a proper lunge, then progress on to jump lunges.
There's a few of the boys in the group that are they too keen with that, aren't they? Mr. 100K.
Only do that if you can do proper balance lunges, then progress on to jump lunges.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can look at things, for instance, loading resistance terms, like barbell squat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can look at things like partial squat and then partial squat jump, and then you start to advance on from there.
Mm-hmm.
But you start out with the basics, like the plyometrics, then the agility drills. Those are the things that are going to kind of, quote unquote, give you the edge.
Yeah.
For instance, you might be able to jump 5-10 centimetres higher than the person you're up against. For instance, a centre back working on plyometrics is massive.
Oh, aye.
Because the centre back wants to get the ball for a header and then lose to a striker.
Aye.
Same goes for a midfielder or a striker.
Mm-hmm.
Play any aerial balls. And then you've got also the kind of outsides and strikers in terms of agility. But the thing is, like, football nowadays isn't as black and white as that anymore.
Oh, it's becoming more and more complicated, isn't
kind of it? Just get the kind of beefy centre. It's the same with rugby, like nothing's like that black and white anymore. It's like you get the beefy centre backs are that are just going to stand there like brick walls, and nobody's going to get past them.
Aye.
Apart from the wee, apart from the wee tiny striker who just bolts past everybody. Like everybody's obviously more advanced now, and the earlier you kind of catch on to that, the more chance that you're going to give yourself if you're looking to take this from a more professional point of view. If you're looking to advance on with that.
That's something you see quite a lot, like with even players adapting to different positions. Like you've got like the likes of like Van Dijk. Look at him as a centre back. He could easily play midfield as well, and just going with his fitness, you could even put him out wide with how fit he is. And that's a great example of how he's managed to train his fitness, but he's also used the plyometrics to be able to be that dominant centre half that is just the big brick wall, but has also been able to use the game and play the game well.
Essentially, you want to be more kind of utility player. You want to be able to adapt to different positions, because then, for instance, say somebody else comes into the team, like you're not going to get dropped, or you're not going to have to then half your time that you're playing for someone else to then get swapped in. You can easily go, right, I'll be able to get this player to go from here. And if you're looking to go for a beginner, amateur, that kind of semi-pro, then professional level is you want that, you want to be a player that can be utilised in different positions.
Aye.
Because then you can be used more.
But that's the thing, it's about making yourself essential, isn't it? Like making yourself essential to that team. Like you need to be that first name in the team sheet no matter what position you're playing.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like translating that drug, that's not going to say you're going to put a prop in a fullback. And if you don't know rugby terms, then that's fine. But like that doesn't mean like for instance a centre back or a goalkeeper's going to go striker.
Mm-hmm.
There's still things that translate over into other positions. So yes, still specialise. For instance, us, we cover a lot of things in terms of personal training. We cover a lot of things, but most of us will specialise in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same as a position in football. You could specialise in one thing, but be able to cover a lot of different positions.
Yeah.
So when you come to actually training for football, or training for sport in general, fitness-wise, you want to be able to add in things like plyometrics, resistance training, agility, obviously your cardiovascular, very important because you spend most of the game moving around. So that doesn't mean like just become an absolute gym bro and ditch the cardio and just start lifting weights, which happens a lot, which I experienced from younger. Well, when I started training for senior level, when I heard about weights and decided to start lifting weights, is the cardio wasn't getting looked after. I just relied on my natural speed and cardiovascular at the time. And that took a hit a couple of years down the line, where people were the same kind of speed as me. I was no longer as fast as I was. I was no longer as fast as I perceived I was. But I was stronger and I was bigger.
It's just trying to find that balance.
But it's finding, you want to find the balance.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't me saying jump straight to the weights and ditch the cardio at the training. Is find the balance for whether it's 2 days, 3 days that you mix in with the training you're doing in football. So if you train, for instance, a Tuesday and Thursday or whatever days it is, then days in between, use them as resistance training. If you then play on, for instance, a Saturday, you play in a Saturday league, you want to look and maybe doing a Monday resistance session, Tuesday maybe you're in football, Wednesday resistance training, Thursday maybe you're in football, Friday a break, and then Saturday going to the games. In terms of training and fitness wise, also diet and nutrition is another talking point. But yeah, I'd say that's again a massive importance. I tend to rabble on when I get into it.
That's what podcasts are for, it's alright. Well, just as you said, nutrition there, that's actually our next point. It's talking about how important nutrition is for, as we're saying, these different levels. So even amateur, going up to that semi-pro and then professional. How important that is within team sports, like rugby and mostly specialising in football.
I I can still remember the first time I got a quote-unquote diet plan. I wasn't a diet plan, it was more like, here's what you have for breakfast. And it was like a 600 calorie breakfast at the age of like 16, 17. And as fast as your kind of natural metabolism is at that point, you were just kind of told like, here's bread, here's eggs. Sort of thing, like you weren't told like, why. It was just like, this is what you go to for your breakfast before you come to the game, before you start training for the game. In terms of nutrition, to nutshell it, you want to look possibly more down the lines of what we call peri-workout nutrition. By the way, I'm no means a nutritionist. However, through my college qualifications and further continued learning, the level 3 in nutrition, I'm very confident in terms of sports nutrition and applying it. Just a wee disclaimer there.
I've seen some of these meals, guys. He is doing well. He's not lying. He's
currently just trying to put together some meals. trying to cook better than the chicken, broccoli, and rice diet.
He certainly cooked better than me, I'll tell you that.
So you want to look at things, maybe nutshelling how you work out nutrition. That's essentially looking at your eating windows. If you have, for instance, if there's a parent listening to this, and you have a child who's like 6, 7, sub 10 years old, it's not applicable. You don't have to force carbohydrates down your child's throat 2 hours before they go to a training session or a game. However, if you're kind of that teenage, kind of mid-teenage age, probably from about 14, 15, 16, diet nutrition could be something that you could look into. This is essentially looking at eating windows, whether you eat the night before or you eat, for instance, 90 to 60 minutes before you are active. This allows it time to break down your body. And what I mean by that is, for instance, if you're eating 60 to 90 minutes before you go to a game, then this is all person dependent. So if you don't like running on a full stomach or whatever, then eat it the night before.
It's no forced.
Speaking from a 60 to 90 point, 90 minute before was an audio. Carbohydrates into your diet just before then, because that allows your body time to actually absorb the carbs into the system. Carbs being your main energy source for the body. So if you have them in before the game, then you're more likely to be fully energized. As long as your coaches, whether it's Lewis or whatever, isn't making you run rampant before you actually get into the game and knackle you.
Don't worry, I know two better to do that.
I've had a few games.
Right, both is.
You know, you're not going into the game absolutely shattered. Before that first whistle goes.
Aye. That was like the staple of your childhood, playing sport, wasn't it?
Shatter you at dinner and then there you go, that's the game. So you want to look at things like your carbs, and maybe a protein intake beforehand. And it just gives you a body enough time to absorb it in and take it and actually get the benefits from it. And then same with, for instance, everyone's had orange slices and all that at half time. And then also the more older you get, it's more like people looking at Lucozade and whatnot. From what's actually in Lucozade, it's things like glucose, for instance, it's glucose, and that's what you're kind of getting from the oranges as well. So that's how we went from oranges to a bottle of Lucozade. Whether it's orange Lucozade or whatever, it doesn't matter. That's essentially what it is. It's glucose, it's kind of sugar rush for your body. So that kind of quick half time hit of sugar and glucose into the body can help you kind of pick up a kind of second wind into the second half. And then if you're looking at the back end of it, if you are obviously of the older age, the legal 18-year-old age, and you're jumping up to a pint straight after the game, fair enough, but make sure you have some food afterwards, because your body has just exercised, it's just went through strenuous tibia. Whether you have played in goals for the full game, doesn't matter, you're still being slapped with a ball, mm-hmm. you're still being up in aerial balls, and you need to make sure you're still replenishing your body afterwards. This goes the same for training sessions as well. For instance, if you're training Tuesday and Thursday, that kind of Thursday, you could have had an absolute beasting from your coaches, or it might could have been a more technical standpoint where you're looking at your game plan for the weekend. You're then looking at the Friday, and if you're someone who doesn't like running about on a full stomach, for instance, you could then look at the Friday night, and for instance, carb load on the Friday night. That doesn't mean just go have a Chinese or whatever.
Although many would want to.
I'll not bode well for next morning. You want to be able to utilise the carbs from the night before into the body. If you're someone who doesn't like to eat in the morning, then eat the night before. It could be any kind of carb source that you want. If you'd eaten the night before, then I would say something more kind of wholemeal based. Whether that's wholemeal bread, pasta, even have cereal. Because I know a lot of people, it's quite a controversial subject, but a lot of people like to eat cereal mostly at night. So you can have that as well. So anything kind of wholemeal the night before, by that time it's been in your kind of system throughout the whole night. Then, for instance, if you have a kind of 10 o'clock kick-off, then you have a lot of carbs in your system for the night before, and you go utilise that when you go into the game. And then make sure you have something like an isotonic or a glucose sweet, or in rugby they tend to use jelly babies and sugar coated sweets because it has extra sugar on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit more strenuous. but it gives you that kind of sugar kick that you need for that kind of half time point to go through the second half.
That's good there. It's obviously showing that there's different variations of what people can have, and it's not like this is what you need to do, this is what you have to have. It shows that there's different options out there, and no one needs to stick to like something that they don't want.